Good morning, everybody. Though, of course, as you may know, I have retired as rabbi of the Kilat Zichron Yosef in Har Nof about half a year ago. But one of the aspects of the rabbinate that I am incapable of weaning myself from is giving a Shabbos Shuvah Drosha and a Shabbos Hargadol Drosha. So we did Shabbos Shuvah, we did here at the Israel Center, and Mirz Hashem, this week, Zunta Heit, sometime in the afternoon, I'm not even sure yet what time it is, I'll have to look at my Torah tidbits, and that's when I'll find out what time the Shabbos Hargadol Drosha will be here in the afternoon. So even if you're not going to be spending the Shabbos with us for this Shabbaton, you can come to the Shabbos Hargadol Drosha. And chances are, you know, I'm still in the middle of working on it. I may even be using you this morning as sounding off or beginning to get the Shabbos HaKol Drasha in perspective. You know, there's so much stuff floating around my head, and I have to make, I have to organize it. But in Yitz Hashem, by Shabbos, I hope to have the Drasha ready. It's going to be on the Haggadah. On the sheets in front of you, you will see it's going to be on the Haggadah. I would say if there is a theme to the Shabbos Haggadah Drasha, I can sum it up in the following words. Over 300 years ago, King Louis XIV of France asked Blaise Pascal, the great French philosopher of his day, to give him proof of the existence of miracles. Without a moment's hesitation, Pascal answered, "Why, the Jews, Your Majesty, the Jews." "You want proof that there are miracles in the world? The Jews." In another way, it was said, either at the same time or soon after, by Rabbi Yaakov Emdin in the introduction to his Siddur, he writes, "I swear, the miracle of the survival and the existence of the Jewish people is by far greater than all of the signs and the wonders that God used in order to take us out of Egypt. It's greater than the Eshemachus, it's greater than Kriyas Yamsuf, the survival and the existence of the Jewish people." I have a feeling that that's really the theme of the whole Haggadah. I never saw it as clearly as I did this year, and I'm going to share part of that with you, especially since we are living at a moment in time that there is one of the most awesome and frightening threats to the Jewish people, or for that matter, to any people in all of history. And it's only 60 years after the Shoah, and one thing we've learned: one dare not ever think, that guy in Iran is a Hamishugana, is a Hagarnish. Oy, when we don't take people seriously, we have made tragic mistakes. Holach Ma'anya. Beginning of the Haggadah. Holach Ma'anya. The Acholo Avatana Ba'ad of the Mitzrayim. This is the bread of affliction that our fathers ate in the land of Egypt. Called it Finn, anybody who's hungry, Yesev V'yechol can come in and eat. Called it Tzrich, anybody who's in need of a carbon Pesach, the Paschal Lamb, Yesev V'yivstach, let him come and spend Pesach with us. Hashata Hocha, this year we're here, Lishana Habo, Ba'ad of the Yisrael, next year we will be in Eretz Yisrael. Hashata Avde, this year we are slaves, Lishana Habo, B'nei Chorin, next year we're going to be free people. This is the introduction, the beginning of the Haggadah. The Leil Shimurim Haggadah, the one that I spoke about a great deal last year, the Haggadah that was written by the Aruch HaShulchan, and which my son-in-law and myself, who was Zeicher to reprint it. So his first piece is on Halach Ma'anya. And he says that Halach Ma'anya is a message of great hope. Great hope. I mean, of course, it's talking about the fact now we may be in terrible straits, but next year, Jews always said there's going to be a next year. We never saw it in any other way. There's always going to be a next year. And he says so beautifully, on this piece of the Haggadah, he says, take a look at number two. A number of psukim from Yeshayahu, from Isaiah, and we have the translation there. God says, Shimu Eli Rod Feit Tzedek, listen to me, O pursuers of righteousness, Mevakshei Hashem, those who seek out God. If you really want to know what God is all about, and even more so, what is God's relationship with the Jewish people, Habitu El Tzur Chutzavtem, Ve'el Makevet Bor Nukartem, look to the rock from which you were hewn, and at the hollow of the pit from which you were dug. What is the rock from which you were hewn, and what is the hollow of the pit from which you were dug? So the Navi goes on to say, Habitu al Avram Avichem, take a look at your father Avram, Vel Sora Techol Malchem, and Sora who gave birth to you, Ki Echod Kerasiv, when he was yet one alone, did I summon him, for Avarchehu, and I blessed him, for Arbehu, and I made him many. Alright? The Leil Shimurim learns this pasuk slightly different. Ki echod korosiv, not like our translation here, he says, Ki echod korosiv, when I created him, do you know what I made Avram? And you know what I made Sarah? People who would remain one forever. Meaning, Avram by nature was not capable of having children. Sarah was not capable of having children. They were to remain, each one of them, one. And you know what I did? V'avarcheinu, I blessed him. And you know what I did with this rock that was really dead? The rock from which you were hewn. The pit from which you were dug that was empty. Both Avram and Sarah were biologically incapable of giving birth. But you know what I did? Avarcheinu, I blessed him, and you know what happened? For our Behu, I turned him into many. That was also a bracha. He says on the basis of this pasuk, he says precisely not. Avram also couldn't have children. They were made to be one. And I blessed him, and he multiplied. So he says, you know what the meaning of this nevuah of the Yeshayahu is? That the birth of the Jewish people was a ness. The very birth of the Jewish people was a ness. You know why? Because their survival throughout history is going to be an ongoing miracle. Born and bred and raised and have come into existence as a miracle, they're going to be a miracle throughout. And then you know what Yeshayahu goes on to say? That same miracle of the birth of Klal Yisrael, that same miracle is going to be used by God in crucial moments in history with regard to Klal Yisrael in Eretz Yisrael. It will be a miraculous existence. Ki nicham Hashem Tzion, for Hashem will comfort Zion, nicham kol charvoteha, he will comfort all of her ruins. Vayosem midbarok Eden, he will make the desert like the Garden of Eden, va'arvata, and the plains, the wasteland, will be like the Garden of God. Sosom v'simcha yimotzei ba, joy and happiness will be found in her. Toda, thanksgiving to God, the Kol Zimra, and the sound of music. So he says that The Halachma Anya is the opening paragraph, and that opening paragraph is one that overflows with a sense of confidence and a promise for the future. And he says this promise is also told, there are people who are worried right now, where are they going to have for Pesach, who's going to help them provide for their Pesach. So the Baal HaGod is saying, the Rebbeinu Shalom and Klal Yisrael would take care of all of those who are in need. In a sense, the Halachma Anya, as understood by the Leil Shimurim, is that which sets the tone for the whole Haggadah. I'm going to take you through a little bit of a journey in the Haggadah and show you a number of problems, and then, we'll see. We'll do as much as we can, and whatever we don't get done this morning, well, there's always Shabbos Haggadah, all right? After the Halachma Anya, of course, comes Manishtana. All right, the Fear Kashas, Tatech, Veldev, Reg, and the Fear Kashas. By the way, it's not necessarily Kashas. I may be jumping ahead of myself. How do we really know that there should be questions asked? So I'm going to take you someplace now for a moment, and just you're going to have to bear with me. Go down to number 6. I'm going to explain to you the significance of number 6 during the course of this whole year. Number 6 is going to be the pivot upon which the whole shiur is based. And it may be a great deal more than that. Number 6, I should have written it in there. Number 6 is from Parshat Vatzchanon in Sefer Devarim. Ki yishocha bincha lochar lemo, when your son is going to ask you tomorrow, so saying, moha eidos v'achukim v'mishpatim asher tzivar Hashem elokeinu etchem, what are the testimonies, the decrees, and the ordinances that Hashem our God commanded you? V'amar tolevincha. Right now we're just going to take a look at these two psukim. V'amar tolevincha, you should say to your son, Avodim ayinu l'faru v'mitzchayim who were slaves to Paro in Egypt, v'yotzeinu Hashem v'mitzchayim, God took us out of Egypt, v'yad chazak of the strong hand. Quite obvious that the Baal HaGadah is basing the structure of the Haggadah so far on these two psukim. Who's asking that question in Sefer Devarim, in Parashat Vatchanan? That question is being asked by the Ben HaChacham, the wise one. He's asking, he wants to know specifics about Torah, he wants to understand Torah, the testimonies, the statutes, the ordinances, the laws that were commanded by God. He is the one who asks the question, and what's the answer that's supposed to be given to the Chacham? Avodah Vayinu, the Father of Mitzchayim. So here you have the Manishtana, which obviously flows from this first pasuk. Because I'll tell you, the other three sons, the Rasha, the Tam, and the She'ena Yadeya Lishol, don't appear in Sefer Devarim. They all appear in Parashat Bo. By none of those three does the Torah say, when he asks or when he speaks, by none of them does the Torah say, Avodem Hayinu, we were slaves to Paro Mitzrayim. Where does it say it? Only by the question that's asked by the Chacham. And by, I know people ask the question, how do we know that he's the Chacham? What did the Rosh say? The Rosh says, Moha Avoda Hazos Lachem, what is all this service for you? So over here he says, Moha Eidus V'Chukim V'Mishpatim Asher Tzivva Hashem Elokeinu Etchem, you, which would mean you, but not me. No, you can't read it that way. You can't read it that way. For a number of reasons, you can't read it that way. Number one, you can't read it that way because he's interested in specifics. He wants to know about the Eidus, the testimonies, the Chukim. He wants to know about the decrees. He wants to know about the ordinances. This is not the kind of question that's asked by somebody who wants to mock or make fun. This is said by somebody who wants to learn. And why does he say Hashem? Because remember, Moshe is saying this at the end of the 40 years to the Jews who are going into Eretz Yisrael, your children, the later generation, the ones who never experienced Yitziat Mitzrayim, are going to ask. So therefore the later generation has the right to turn to their fathers who have been in Mitzrayim or at Sinai and say, what did God command you? Obviously the Haggadah is not built and structured on the Rosha. The Rosha doesn't really ask a question. The Rosha, Torah says, Mahu Omer, Moha Avodah Hazos Lachem. What's this? Kiyomru Aleichem Beneichem. Over there it says, your sons say to you. He doesn't ask. The Tam and the Sheni Yadei Elishal are not asking questions of great depth. But the Chacham is. So therefore, Manishtana is the question that's asked by the Chacham. And since it's the question that's asked by the Chacham, as I said in the past, that you have to understand, you cannot, what I'm tell you now, it's a great personal risk that you're going to tell it to your children or to your Eniklach, but both the Malbim and the Leil Shimurim say that Manishtana is not a question. I know that this is heresy and this is absolute blasphemy. All of our little kinderlich have been taught all their lives, Tata, it will be seg in the fig, kashas. But they're not kashas. They are not kashas. A number of my first will explain, if you would want to ask a question, you would say, Lama. Lama is a question. You know what ma means? What does ma mean? Somebody say wow.
Wow.
No.
No.
Wow. My. Not how is this night different. The word ma is not a question. The word ma is an exclamation. Ma tovu oholecho Yaakov mishkinotecho Yisrael. Bilam says, my, how good are your, goodly are your tents, O Jacob, your dwelling places, O Israel. Hinei ma tovu manoim shevesachim gam yochad. My, how beautiful and how pleasant it is for brothers to live together. Morabu masecho Hashem, how great are all of your creations, O God. Kulam v'chochma sisa. You made them all with great wisdom. The word ma is an exclamation. The word ma is a word that says, wow, this is special. This is unusual. This is great. He's not asking Akasha. Especially since I say now that the whole thing is based on the Ben Chacham. Ben Chacham isn't a little yinkle that's the fag in the fin cash. Oh, I think I must have told you some years ago. I said this in shul. I said in shul that the Manishtana doesn't mean why is this night different or how is this night different, but my. Is this night different? So there was an old Jew in shul, says, Rebbe, I'm going to tell you, I'll give you a Rebbe. He still comes around. Every time I see him, I remember this. He says that when he was a little boy, and his Rebbe started learning Chumash with him, you know that great first Rashi in Chumash that I've taught to you who knows how many times. Rabbi Yitzchak says, Lo hoyot sorach lahaskulus haTorah. Torah should not have begun with the creation of the world. Torah should have begun with the first mitzvah, which is HaChodesh HaZelochem. This month shall be the first of months, the story of Nisan, the story of Kiddush HaChodesh, Korban Pesach. That's where Torah should have begun. And then Rashi goes on to say, Umatam Pasach B'Bereishis. It's not a question, why did God begin with Bereishis? But my, what a wonderful reason there is that God began with Bereshis. Umatam. The word ma, always means, I would say beyond wow, a sense of awe, a sense of excitement, of exhilaration. Manishtana halayla zeh. Wow. How amazing. This night is so different than all other nights. And rooted, of course, in these differences, our God is going to go on to say, oh, there are great things that took place on this night. Remember throughout, this is the point that I'm going to make, that wherever we're talking about the story of Yitzhak Mitzrayim, relating the story of Egypt, I believe if the story of the Exodus of Egypt is not related to any present moment in Jewish history, one has not fulfilled the mitzvah of Sifu Yetzias Mitzrayim. If you're going to sit and learn with your children a whole night, the Medrashim, all the Medrashim about Dam and Tzvardeya and Kinim and what happened on the Yamsuf, and you're not going to relate it to Bechol Dor Vador, Omdim Aleinu Lechaloteinu, in every generation they arise to destroy us, Vakodesh Baruch Hu Matzileinu Miyodam, and God is the one who saves us from their hand. If you're not going to relate it to that, if you wouldn't have the Vehisha Onda in the Haggadah would be irrelevant to a Jew throughout all of history. Not enough. The whole purpose of that night is, as the Torah itself says, Leil Shimurim Hu, this is a night of watching that God saves for all generations. You have to understand that the whole story of Yetzias Mitzrayim, its significance is in its contemporary relevance. And if you leave that out, if you leave that out, oh, I must have told you in the past, they do it now by my children, but what my father used to do, you know, Tam, Tzvadeya, Kinim, Adam, Nevesh, Chin. And then Rabbi Yehuda, you know, saying Ben Simonim, Rabbi Yehuda would say, the Tzach, Hadash, Bachav. So my father goes back 50 years, a place, Nasa, Sadat, Arafat. And every year, this year is going to be a little more difficult to understand. We're going to have to get Ahmad and Ijed. If you get this, you have to prepare it well before Pesach so that you shouldn't fall all over yourself. You have to be able to, even though the Rabbi Nishim will know already, if you'll say Yenev Rosh Merush, because Sadat is Shainisht, and Arafat is Shainisht, and Natsa is Shainisht. You understand, all of these guys have passed on the scene, but there are always those who come to take their place. I say a significant factor of the whole Haggadah and the mitzvah of Sifu Yetzias Mitzrayim, it must be related in a significant way to our own situation, and we have to emerge from the night of the Seder with a sense of confidence, faith, absolute trust in the Rebbeinu Shel Olam, that he's not going to let that happen. We still have to do our part, but that's the purpose of the whole thing. So therefore, what I'm saying is, since, as I'm going to point out, and I believe this is one of the big chiddushim for this year, that the whole structure of the Haggadah, from beginning to end, is based on the six psukim in Parshat Vayetchanan. The Baal Haggadah, the Anshei Knesset Haggadah, whoever wrote the Haggadah, they took those six psukim, and they became the outline, the model of what the Haggadah is going to be like. And therefore, we already now know the first two psukim in number 6. Ki yishol cha bincha mocha leimar. When your son is going to ask you tomorrow, mocha eidus achum, that's manishtana. There's the question. There is manishtana. And then, of course, avodim ayinu ba'amarta levincha, avodim ayinu lefar, b'tzchama yitzan eisham yitzam, b'yad chazaka, that's avodim ayinu, but it's not only avodim ayinu. It's going to be a good part of the story. It's going to be a good part of the Haggadah is going to be describing what happened there. Let's take a look at the third passage. And God gave signs and wonders, great ones and bad ones in Egypt, the Pharaoh, the whole Beit Ho. Le'einenu, we saw it with our own eyes. This is Moshe Rabbeinu telling it to the next generation, the generation that's going to enter Eretz Yisrael. We saw it. On this is based everything from Ilu Hotzion in Mitzrayim Olosem Shvatim Tam Po'eish Tigot Oshan. The whole story is there in those two psukim, and that's on what the Haggadah is. That's what the Haggadah is based on. So therefore, since we're learning it from the Chacham, that's why I say that most probably it doesn't say Loma, why is this night different, but rather Ma, because we're talking about a Chacham. He knows. It's so special this night. Look at all the special things we do during the course of this night. One of the questions that has been asked over the years, one of the questions that, and some years ago, I decided, are the kashis concussionish? How do you like that? And I even have over here, you know, I can't help it. I'm one of these guys. I say stuff. Don't we all hoard stuff? We can't throw out pieces of paper. You have it, you can just get it off the internet. But I don't know, I can't help it. I need hard copies, understand? Well, when I read it, when I looked at it again, it really was, this came out last year, it was an ad for Kadima. Today we should have Achora, and on the other side, of this Kadima handout was Shabbos Parshas Vayakel Pekudei Achodesh. When was Achodesh? Was Vayakel Pekudei this year? Same as last year. Chof Hei Ba'adar Tavshin Samach Vav 25/306. It was before the elections, and here they're one of my. Not so favorite rabbis, not important, who asks the question that, you know, it seems whenever we should mention Eretz Yisrael simply doesn't exist in the Haggadah. I mean, there's a plot. For example, four cups of wine corresponding to the four expressions of redemption. I will take you out, I will rescue you, I will save you, I will take you unto me as a people. Four? But the pasuk that follows says, I'm going to bring you to the land that I swore. God says, I swore to your fathers, Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, to give you the land. We stop at Ve'eveti. There isn't the fifth coast for Ve'eveti. What are we leaving Eretz Yisrael out? And more than that, the Rambam says it twice, the Mishnah says it clearly, that built into the story of the Exodus, Dodesh Me'arami Oved Ovi. You're supposed to study the Parsha of Mikro Bikurim, that which is said by a Jew when he brought the first fruits to the Beit HaMikdash. That's really the inner structure of that Godot on that. That's a Jew brings the first fruits. He brings the first fruits to the Beit HaMikdash. So it says over there that you come with the basket with the first fruits, and you say before God, your God, Arami Oved Avi, Lavan wanted to destroy my father, and he went down to Egypt, and he lived there, and they enslaved him, and all of the rest. Vayishmat Hashem et kolenu, God heard our voice, and he saw our suffering, and our toil, and our pressure. Vayotzeinu Hashem Mitzrayim, God took us out of Egypt with a strong hand and an outstretched arm. Uvemeira Gadol, uveyosos, uvemeilmosim. All of this is described in detail in the Haggadah. And that's where we stop. And the Mishnah says, and so says the Rambam in two places, Doresh, you have to study the parsha of Arami Ovid Avi until you finish it in its entirety. But wait a minute. The next pasuk is Vayivienu El Amakom Hazeh, the person who brings the first fruits. Not only does he thank God for all of Jewish history, but he says, wait a minute. The most important thing is Vayivienu El Amakom Hazeh. He brought us to this place. Vayitin Lonu Esaretz Hazos. He gave us this land. Edet Zavas Chalav Edvash. A land flowing with milk and honey. Why do we stop short over there? Why don't we dash it down? The halacha said you're supposed to dash on the whole pasha. It seems to be an anti-Zionist plot, this whole Haggadah. What's going on over there? I could show you other places in the Haggadah where it stops short. We talk about Mitchila Odeh, how our forefathers were idolaters. A whole few psukim from Sefer Yehoshua. And you know where it stops? Right before the story begins to tell us that we came to Eretz Yisrael. Wait a minute. In the Haggadah, we're going to have the Brid Bein HaBetachim between God and Avram. The treaty between the parts. Between the parts. Wait a minute. Here. Take a look at the other side. Other side, number 7. The second paragraph of number 7, Baruch Shomer Haftachato Yisrael, blesses the one who keeps his promise to Israel. Baruch Hu, blessed is he. Shakodesh Baruch Hu Chishev Hasakeitz. Hakodesh Baruch Hu calculated the end of the exile. Lasod Kmo Shomer Lavrom Avinu, to do that which he said to Avram our father. The Brid Bein HaBetachim, by the covenant of the pieces. Shenema. This is a quote from Parshat Lech Lecha at the Brit Bein HaBetachim. Vayom El Avram. God said to Avram, Yodo Ateda, you should know. Ki ger yezarach ha-baretz lo lehem, your children will be strangers in a land that's not theirs. Va'avodum, and they will enslave them. Ve'inu otam, and they will torture them. Arba me'er shana, 400 years. Ve'ganes ha-gay, asher ya'avodu, don anochi. And also that nation that they will serve, I will judge them. They're going to pay. And afterwards they're going to go out with great wealth. Do you know what God says to Avram after this in the Brit Bein HaBetachim? And I am going to give you the land of the Knani, the Prizi, the Chivi, the Gis, the Goshi, the Yavusi, the Kani, the Knizi, the Kadmoni, the whole promise of Eretz Yisrael at the Brit Bein HaBetachim is absent from the Haggadah. The plot thickens. What's going on over there? Why isn't Eretz Yisrael mentioned? And here in this Kavima, not even all of these questions are asked. I have had more questions. Here it is. I love this part. I'll tell you, these sheets that come out in the shuls used to be a great source for me to give brushes, There was always something I could get upset about and disagree with, and that's it, that's all you need. So here it is, this rabbi who's writing it says, from all that we're saying, it's clear there has to be a fifth cup, and without it, Eretz Yisrael is absent from the Haggadah of Pesach. You're going to see right away what absolute nonsense this is. And he goes on to say that a fellow from a non-religious kibbutz once asked him, Bet HaShita, kibbutz, Aryeh Ben Gurion, from kibbutz Bet HaShita, how do you religious Zionists tolerate a Haggadah of this sort? How can you sit down, you understand? So what if you'll sing Shir HaMalos to HaTikva? That's not going to turn the Haggadah into something that talks about Eretz Yisrael. She says, how can you, religious Zionists, sit down by the Seder? God, how can you do it? So he says, he asks the question. We don't say, Vayivienu El Amakom Hazeh, Vayivienu. And our rabbi says, we're Tainitzo Dekes the Kushya Gedola. Oh, is this, this is a very big kasha. This is a problem. So he says, you know what? Maybe
maybe what you really should do is drink another cup of wine in honor of Eretz Yisrael. Okay. By the way, last year there was also somebody who came out with a Hashlama LaHagada, an addition to the Haggadah. There's something missing in the Haggadah. This fellow went there and he printed up all of this stuff. You should put it into your Maxwell House coffee Haggadah that you have from 1942. And when you say the Haggadah, you should bring this out too. And what does he add over here? He's also troubled about the fact that Eretz Yisrael doesn't exist in the Haggadah. And he starts putting, he gives the whole parsha of Harami Yovid Avi, Vayivienu Olam Okam Hazeh, and then he adds all sorts of psukim from all over. He turns this Haggadah into a whole Eretz Yisrael Haggadah. I disagree with both of them. They just didn't get it. They missed it. They missed the boat. You know what they missed? Chachmei Yisrael, who wrote the Haggadah, were Bali Ruach HaKodesh. Oh, were they Bali Ruach HaKodesh? Oh, the Spirit of God beat within their souls. You know what they did? You know what everybody forgets? Second side. I'm going to be moving from one side to the next. Second side, number 10. The last paragraph of the Sipur Yitzias Mitzrayim, of right there, the end of the story, hold on the door in every generation. Chayev Adam Lido Tatatzmo Ki'ilu Hu Yotzim Mitzrayim, in every generation a person has to see himself as though he went out of Egypt. By the way, this is another one of the classic paragraphs in which we are told that Yitzias Mitzrayim, the exodus from the Egypt, has to be of contemporary relevance in our lives now. Shenema. I have to see myself as though I experienced it. I went out of Egypt. As it says, you should tell your son on that day, God did this to me when I went out of Egypt. Now, the last sentence, the last unbelievable great sentence in the story. Of course, after this is going to begin the Thanksgiving. Hallel. Pesach, Matzah, Morah. And then he says, Lord, I will tell you, without Goal HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it was not only our fathers that God redeemed, also us he redeemed with them, Shenema. Votanu Hotzini Sham, he took us out of there, Leman Haviotanu, in order to bring us, Latet Lanu Et Haaretz, to give us the land, Asher Nishba Lavotenu, that he swore to our fathers. This pasuk that ends the story is the fourth pasuk in the parsha of the Chacham. I told you it's all based on the Chacham. Go back to number 6. You see, the fourth pasuk, we learned the first three psukim, which were the outline of the Haggadah up until now. And pasuk number 4 is those number 6 down at the bottom right hand side. Votanu Hotzimi Sham Leman Havio Tanu Latet Lanu Et Haaretz Asher Nishba La'avotenu. Do you know what a genius the Baal HaGadah was? I'm overwhelmed by his genius. You know what he did? He chose what I believe is the only pasuk in all of Tanakh. You know I love to make these broad statements. And there before my eyes, from the beginning of Bereshis until the end of Divrei Hayamim Vashem Imo V'Yal, I see it all before me over there. Don't take me seriously. You have to have a little fun at the Seder too. Understand? Do you know what the Baal HaGadah did? He took the only pasuk in all of Tanakh that makes the absolute relationship that the two Yitzias Mitzrayim and coming to Eretz Yisrael are bound together, and that the whole purpose of Yitzias Mitzrayim was in order to bring us to Eretz Yisrael. The whole purpose. I ask if somebody's going to say, "No, the purpose was Torah." No, the purpose wasn't Torah. On the way to Eretz Yisrael, God took us to Sinai. because our survival in Eretz Yisrael was going to depend upon Torah. You have to pick up the survival kit of the Jewish people, which is Torah, and go with that to Eretz Yisrael. But listen to the pasuk: "Votanu hotzi misham." He took us out of there. Leman. I've explained to you in Shiurim over the years that Leman means the ultimate goal, the ultimate objective, the ultimate address to come to. It was in order to bring us to the land that he swore to our fathers. All the other psukim that I asked about, they don't make this connection. Alright. And then Vehivesi. You know, so first the Tzalti happened, Vukaalti, Vulokachti, you know, each one separate and distinct. And then, you know, so another thing happened. I'll bring you there to Israel. Or the one who is saying, Achami Yodi Ravi, God took us out of Mitzrayim. Vayivienu, and he brought us to this place. That may very well be, you know, he took us out of Mitzrayim. He had to bring us someplace, you know. So, what are you going to do? You know, you can't stay around Sinai all the time. So he took us and he brought us there to Israel. The only passage that makes the connection that the purpose, the objectives, the goal, the tachlis of Yitzchak Mitzchayim was to come to Eretz Yisrael. Votanu hotzi misham leman havi otanu latet lanu taharat hashem nishpah lalatenu. So number one, he chooses this pasuk because this is the only pasuk that makes that connection. But now, take a look at how I'm looking at these four psukim so far in the parsha of the Chacham. Don't you see the structure of the Haggadah before your eyes? Ki yisholcha bincha mocha lema manishtana. The whole story of the Sipur and Dan, Tradeya, Kinim, Vayitan, Hashem, Osos, Mos, and Gedolim, Vichoyim, and Mitzrayim. The whole body of the Haggadah. The end of the story. But Otanu Hotzi Misham. Otanu Hotzi Misham means that the whole Dorvuk, Gor, Chayva, the Linus, that's what a person has to see himself as though he went out of Egypt. What's going to come in the Haggadah? What's going to come after the whole Dorvador? You know what's going to come after the Chol Dor V'Dor? We are going to begin to fulfill the mitzvahs of the night. We're going to eat matzah. We're going to eat maror. The Neheira V'Yomenu. We will eat Korban Pesach. Following the story come all the mitzvahs of the night. Look at Pasuk number 5 there. Vayitzaveinu Hashem la'asot et kol ha'chukim ha'ela, and God commanded us to do all of these statutes. Liyidat Hashem lano, Hashem l'keinu, so that we should fear God our God. L'tov lano, it should be good for us. Kol hayonim, throughout all of history. L'chayotenu, so that we are alive. K'hayom hazeh. Do you know what the pasuk is saying over here? King Louis the 14th. How do you know that there are miracles? Ask out. The Jews, Your Majesty, the Jews. L'chayotenu kayom hazeh. All that has happened is that we should be alive today. It's been a pretty long time, you know, that we're still able to say that prophet. There's a pretty long time that we're saying the Haggadah. Torah and Eretz Yisrael were l'chayotenu kayom hazeh. So we're explaining the purpose of the mitzvahs, the chukim. And by the way, the fact is that Torah says about all of the mitzvahs of Pesach, v'shamarto et hachuka hazot l'molada liyamin yamima. You should keep this chok. You wouldn't have thought that Pesach is a chok. It is a chok. The chok, you know what the chok is? There's a specific chok, the mitzvah of Shabbos, though we don't understand its meaning, the Torah Aduma. But chok also means, well, something that's built in, it's a law in nature. You know what else is a law of nature that defies our ability to understand it?
Chayotenu kayom hazet, if we're alive. That's the biggest chok of them all.
It's of course a chok that's extremely aggravating to the rest of the world. But they don't understand that that's the chok. The chok is, as the pasuk says, l'chayotenu kayom hazet, that we're alive today. We're alive today. You know what this fifth pasuk is telling us? This fifth pasuk is telling us what I say is the theme of the whole Haggadah, its contemporary relevance. If you don't apply the Haggadah till to today, and you think you can fulfill the mitzvah by sitting with your kinderlach and telling them like exactly what it looked like as you crossed the Yam Suf, you understand what kind of trees were growing there and what kind of jewels, and not enough. You have to say, Kindalach, I'm here and you're here because of that chok that God gave into nature, the eternal survival of the Jewish people. And it's because we are inextricably intertwined with Torah.
Utsidaka tielanu. It will be a merit for us. Ki nishmor la'asot et kol ha'mitzvah hazot, that we will guard and keep this mitzvah lifnei Hashem Elokeinu kasher tzivanu. This is the tzedakah. By the way, you should know, in Tanakh, the word tzedek has a number of meanings. The word tzedek means justice, righteousness, charity, and you know what else it means? Victory. There are many places in Tanakh, Shayahu, Yirmiyahu, where tzedek or tzedakah means victory, ultimate victory. I'm learning this pasuk, u'tzedakah tiyelano, we will be victorious, ki nishmor la'asot et kol ha'mitzvah hazot lefnei Hashem Elokeinu. We will keep all of this. We are going to be victorious. It can be a little hair raising until we see it, you understand. We do face a terrible, terrible threat. That's why I remember, you know, there are different periods in history. I don't know why in the 50s, I don't know why in university campuses then you had it here in Eretz Yisrael, even later, the idea that, you know, the Torah says to destroy Amalek. I mean, that's bad. Or Shulamit Aloni, who wanted to get rid of Sefer Yehoshua because it's all wars and killing, and we're a bunch of killers, a whole bunch of us. One of the things that they also didn't like was Shroch HaMoschel HaGoyim. Number 11. I want to tell you, I am going to say Shveich HaMoscha this year with even more kavana than I've ever said it.
Amen.
Pour out your wrath against the goyim Ashalo Yedohuchi, and so we open up the door, you know, Baruch Haba, Eliyahu HaNavi, and we say Shveich HaMoscha L'Hagoyim Ashalo Yedohuchi, pour out your wrath against the nations who do not know you, v'amavachot asher b'shimcho lo koron, upon kingdoms who do not call your name. Ki ochal es Yaakov v'esnoveyu heishamu, because they consumed Yaakov and they destroyed his dwelling place. They destroyed the Bet HaMikdash. If I'm not mistaken, here I'm not so sure of myself. I only noticed that I was learning Al Naharos Bodel Shom Yashavnu Gam Bachinu Bezachreinu Etzion. So toward the end of Al Naharos Bodel it says Zachor Hashem Livnei Edom, God remember to the sons of Edom at Yom Yerushalayim, the day of Yerushalayim. What did they say on Yom Yerushalayim? Aru, Aru, Ava Yisodba, destroy, destroy until the very foundations. If I'm not mistaken, that's the only place in Tanakh where it says Yom Yerushalayim.
And therefore I find great significance in the idea that we should celebrate a Yom Yerushalayim, which is not Yom Churban, not a day of destruction, but a day of rebuilding. Give them a Yom Yerushalayim in Tavus Tadara, you understand? Suck it to them. Yom Yerushalayim Mu. That Yom Yerushalayim. Shrecha Mas is very, by the way, I just saw it's a fascinating thing. One of them is showing this pasuk appears in slightly different manner in two places. The pasuk that we have over here, Shvoch Hamoscha El Hagoyim, appears in Sefer Tehillim. I think it's in chapter 69. It also appears in Yirmiyahu, chapter 10, the last pasuk in chapter 10 of Yirmiyahu, pasuk Chav Hei, last pasuk, and there it says Shvoch Hamoscha Al Hagoyim. Shvoch Hamoscha, not El Hagoyim, Al Hagoyim. So one of the Rishonim, the Tashbit, says that you shouldn't get confused between El and Al, so he quotes a pasuk in Hosea, El Al Yikra Uhu. They shall call to God. El Al. Right? So if you want to remember which one is El and which one is Al, David HaMelech, who wrote Tehillim, comes before Yirmiyahu. So the first one was El, that's Shvoch Hamoscha El Hagoyim, the one that we say, and in Yirmiyahu it's Shvoch Hamoscha Al Hagoyim. I don't know, I just thought that was interesting. And the Tashbit said about 500 years before we only knew El Al as an airline and didn't know that El Al is a pasuk in Hosea. So at least it's good that you should know. I think it's in chapter 10. El Al Yikra'uhu is a pasuk in Hosea. The Tashbit uses the pasuk in Hosea as a reminder, as a simon, to know that Shvoch Hamoscha El Hagoyim, that was written by David, who comes before Yirmiyahu, precedes the pasuk in Yirmiyahu where it says Shvoch Hamoscha Al Hagoyim. So not to confuse David and Yirmiyahu, Tillim and Sefer Yirmiyahu, he quotes a pasuk in Hosea, El Al Yikro Uhu. It's important that you should know that it's a pasuk, that they took the name El Al from a pasuk, and that it has significance and it has meaning. I just hope that I get everything I want from my points over there, my frequent traveler points. Now, there's a lot more to say, but I just want to take you. So let's say the following. What I have established, number one, and I tell you, I think that this is my chiddush. I walked around the house for a few hours when I thought of it, and I felt very good. So, that the Chachmei Yisrael, who composed the Haggadah, looked at the six psukim of the parsha of the Chacham. And on the basis of these six psukim, they structured and built the Haggadah. And therefore, remember, as we say, therefore, they left out all of the references to Eretz Yisrael except the one that is said by Moshe to Klal Yisrael, to the Chacham Volsonu, from this parsha, because this is the most significant pasuk in Tanakh that relates our entry into Eretz Yisrael to Yitzias Mitzrayim. The only one that says that was the goal and the objective. And by the way, I don't believe they say in the name of the Rav Soloveitchik that he says Eretz Yisrael was a destination and not a destiny, and that's why Eretz Yisrael is not mentioned in the Haggadah. It's a destination, not a destiny. The Mechilas Kvei Teirosoi Harama, I disagree. It was the destiny. And the proof is this pasuk, Vaisonu Hotzi Misham. Furthermore, the very fact that despite all of those who seem to want to fix up the Haggadah, all the fixes of the Haggadah, they simply were... They didn't see this pasuk before their eyes. Vosanu Hotzimisham Leman Havi Otanu, in order, he took us out there in order to bring us. There are other answers that I've seen on the question, but I'm afraid to say that I believe that what I with a little bit humility, I think that what I said is best. Okay, I can do that sometimes, you know. Number 8. I'm really beginning something right now that can take me another hour, but at least give you a little bird's eye view. V'hisham dolavu seinu v'lanu. V'hisham dolavu teinu v'lanu. And this is what stood in good stead for our fathers and us. Shelo echad b'vado amad aleinu l'chaloteinu. Not one alone stood up against us to destroy us. Ella, to behold our bedar in every generation, on the aleinu l'chaloteinu. They rise against us to destroy us. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Matzilenu Mi'adam, and the Holy One, blessed be He, saves us from their hand. So first of all, this is of course inserted over here in order to bring us back from the story of Sipu Yetzias Mitzrayim, bring us back to now, contemporary relevance. Every part of the Haggadah, there has to be a moment in which you say Chevra. I mean, certainly when we're going to come to saying the Hallel, Lo Lano Hashem, Lo Lano Ki Lishim Chatein Kavod, the whole Hallel is talking about us and talking about the Jewish situation at any moment in history. And make no mistake, the present moment in history is so fraught with awesome danger. But we're going to talk about that yet. I have a lot of other approaches to that, but that will wait till after Pesach. V'hi shanda. What is he? What is it that stood us in good stead? What stood us in good stead? Isn't that an important thing to know? Most of the Mepharshim, of course, say that it's related to what was said immediately before. What was... There it is. I have it here. I didn't... The last thing in the Haggadah before V'hi shanda is God's promise to Avram at the Bris Bein Absalim. V'yom ala Avram, Yadoa Teda, Ki Gei Yia Zaracha, Beretz Lo Lahem, your children are going to be strangers in the land. They will be enslaved, they will torture them for 100 years. The promise of Achrei Chaim, they're going to go out. That promise that God made to Avram Avinu was a promise not only that they would be rescued and redeemed and taken out of the gullus, the exile of Mitzrayim, but it refers to every exile in which we will find ourselves. The Medrash over there says that before God entered this covenant of the pieces with Avram, it says that he put him to sleep. V'ne'ema chashecha gedola nofeles alav, a fear, a terror, a darkness came down upon Avram. And the Medrash says that each one of the words refers to another exile. There are four words there. One refers to Mitzchayim, the other Parasumadai, the Persians and the Medes, what's his name? No, first of all, Bavel, I'm sorry. After Mitzrayim comes Bavel, and Nebuchadnezzar, and then comes Haman, and then comes Greece, and then ultimately Edom. And therefore, the promise that God makes to Avram that Achrei Chen Yetzu, afterwards they're going to go out, refers to all of these exiles, and therefore, V'hi She'onda L'Avoseinu V'lanu, that's what stood us in good stead. The Haftocha. Haftocha, I imagine, is a feminine. So, for he, another one, and here I can only say it in one sentence, because there is no time, it's a whole shiur of an hour. The he means the Shekhina, the divine presence. Because the Gemara says, and there are so many psukim, so many statements of our rabbis that establish the principle that wherever Jews went into exile, Golso Shechina Imahem, the divine presence went with them. Imo Onochi B'tzara, I am with him, God says, in his time of Tzara. He Shom, the Lavisenu, She, that Shechina, that divine presence that is with us, that stood us in good stead. I'm not going to give you in half a sentence a major essay by the Netziv that really requires a tremendous amount of great thought. I'm just going to say it to you in a moment because it's a chiddush. Nobody says anything like it. He says, Vehi Sha'anda, Rabbi Hussein Vulon, who goes back in that last pasuk. What did God say to Avram? Yodo Ateida, you should know, Ki Ger Yie Zarecho Be'eretz Lo Lahem. It's all right, it's after a quarter after 11. So anybody whose phone goes off now, you can take it out and turn it off. It's a quarter after 11. It's that clock? It's a plot. No, it's all right. I was speaking last night someplace, and as soon as I got very passionate, sirens started going all over the place. I'm not kidding you. And by it's begun. Listen to one word. He says, "Kiger yeh zaracha." How do you always understand your children will be strangers? That's how we understand it. Kiger yeh zaracha. Your children will be strangers in a land that's not theirs. You know how the Netziv learns it? Kiger yeh zaracha. Your children should be strangers. When you're not in your own land, wherever you are, you should be a stranger. And the moment that a Jew is going to begin to start moving into society, into the Heuche Fenster, he's going to start owning the banks and communication and the insurance industry and all of that. You know what's going to happen? All the moment the Jew begins to become extremely visible and he no longer sees himself as a ger, that's fraught with great danger for the Jewish people. It will either evoke great anti-Semitism, and if you want the classic example, if you want a book that to read that mamash, the pity of it all, by Amos Elon. You can get it in Steinmetzky's, either in Hebrew or in English. It's the story of 200 years of German Jewry until the Churban. I don't think that there was ever a Jewish community in history that had become more native than the natives. Jews went off to fight for the Kaiser. In the First World War, 12,000 Jews died for the Kaiser, for the Vaterland. They moved into every position of prominence and power. And Nebuch, the pity of it all, was all waste. How many hundreds of thousands converted to Christianity? It's such a sad story. Such a sad, sad story. You know what it was? You know what the story is? They didn't hear what the Netziv said, Kiger yeh zaracha. You have to be geirin. But if you think that, somebody came over to me in shul on Shabbos. Yeah, I still dumb in my shul. I have my seat. I love it. I'm telling you, I'm not worried what goes on in shul. They can do whatever they want in shul. I don't know. They can. I've never davened better in my life, I tell you. So one of my fellows comes over. He just came back from New York. He was by an engagement party in New York. The young man had learned here in Herzl, wants to go back to Herzl. He got engaged to this young girl. So my friend, member of the shul, you know, no, up until now he was a member of the shul, now he's my friend, you know. He's not my shul anymore, be my friend, okay? So he wishes the couple that they, Mir Hashem, they should make their home in Eretz Yisrael. And the Kala says to him, I'll never live in Israel. He was shocked. He said, you can't say something like that. You can't say it out of your mouth. I'll never live in Chasda Shalom like that. She didn't find anything wrong with it. She didn't understand. You know what that is? That's an Aveira going against Kiger Yezarek. So the Nitzir says, and he goes into a whole 10-chapter discussion of anti-Semitism and the roots and the sources of anti-Semitism. And he says, V'hi she'omdol avosein v'lonu. You know what stood us in good stead? When we remained Galen. When we remained and felt ourselves to be strangers, and that we're in a land that doesn't belong to us. If we were talking about our Maharaj's bubble before, what did Jews say by the rivers of Babylon? Eich no shir et shir Hashem. How can we sing the song of God? Al admas necha. On foreign land. That's a blessing when you can see any place but Eretz Yisrael as a foreign land. One final thought. I said it last year, and I just want to repeat it again, that I have a feeling on the basis of the pasuk, "Vosanu hotzinu sham," God took us out of there in order to bring us here, that there are two fulfillments of all the mitzvahs of Pesach. One is in Chutz Laretz, and one is in Eretz Yisrael. If you say the Haggadah and you fulfill the mitzvahs of Eretz Yisrael, that's the ultimate expression of the mitzvah. Because you have followed, it's the hold over door, and every generation person has to see as though God took him out. Is that how we're supposed to feel it tonight at the Seder, that God took us out? So we're like them. Where did he take them to? He took them to Eretz Yisrael. Where should we be going? To Eretz Yisrael. If we make the whole journey and Baruch Hashem was zeichet to be here, so then we can say b'chol dor v'dor different than those poor guys in Chutz Laretz. Because we can say, Chayav Adam, a person has to see himself as though he went out of Mitzrayim and went the rest of the way with God, Bosanu, Hotzim, Misham, Lahavir, Tamarodas, Brig, Teretz, and here we are. That's the ultimate fulfillment of the mitzvah. I honestly believe that it's not the same fulfillment of the mitzvah. And therefore, as one of my great rebbes, the Kalina Rebbe said, once at a Rav Yochanan Mikalin, big tzaddik, Schusa Yogan Aleinu Amen. It was once by a Tish. It was on I don't remember what Yom Tov. It was one of the Yom Tovim. And the Rebbe, you always used to talk about Eretz Yisrael, big Ohei Eretz Yisrael. So he said, "No, Eretz Yisrael." It's also one of the Chassidim says, "Rebbe." We will and bleib and do. We want to remain here because our 2 days yonder. The Rebbe was a very edler, delicate, silent soul. He stood up and he said, "Ein tag in Eretz Yisrael is worth 1,000 in Chutz Laretz. One day in Eretz Yisrael is worth 1,000 days of yonder in Chutz Laretz." Chag Kosher V'Sameach, everybody. Huh?